48-yard try. One block today. Good snap. Good hold. Good kick. Overtime in Chicago.
Hamp MLB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Game not over yet, as the Bears, you just heard right there, tied the game late in regulation as time ran out. And it's a 27-27 game in overtime. The Bears have the ball right now in the first possession of the OT. We'll certainly keep you updated on it. We'll bring the boys in as soon as the game goes final. But a 17-point fourth quarter for the Bears as they rally to tie the game 27 apiece. They do have the ball, but they're deep in their own territory on their first possession in the overtime. A lot of stuff going on the NFL today. The game we were airing here on our station, the Cowboys and the Washington Commanders, that one got interesting as well. The Cowboys are going to hang on to win that game. So that's how that one will finish. And again, we'll figure out how the Bears will finish coming up here just a few moments. Again, 27-27 the score here in overtime. The Bears are about to turn the ball over on a punt. And we'll get you updated on that as soon as we come back. We'll get to the news here in a minute as well. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverados, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. A crazy, crazy game here. And it looked so many times like the Bears were going to be completely out of it, but the Vikings somehow, a combination, I guess, of the Bears wanting it and the Vikings letting them back into it. And it's a 27-27 game in overtime, as the Bears have just punted things away, and the Vikings will have their first possession, perhaps. There's a scrum on the field. I'm not sure if that was a fumble or not, but we'll get it all sorted out coming up here in just a minute. All right, Hamilton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur here, and guys, watching the end of this game, we're tied 27 apiece in overtime. The Vikings have their first possession. They're deep in the Bears' they're deep in their own territory at this point. So we'll definitely keep you updated. We'll take your phone calls. It was a crazy finish to this one, at least in regulation, as the Bears scored 17 points in the fourth quarter and wound up getting this game tied. It was a crazy situation too with the special teams. A couple of really bad plays today. DeAndre Carter coughed one up. Cairo Santos also had a field goal blocked, and the field goal that went through to end regulation and tie the game was a bit of a knuckler, but it went in, and that's pretty much all that counts. And it's a 27-27 game again in overtime. Vikings have converted on a first down, so they'll keep possession. That's in the Bears in their own territory again, and another timeout being called. So it's overtime in the NFL, and we'll keep you updated when we get back from the news here in just a few moments. We'll take your phone calls as well, 312-981-7200, and we'll talk about this one, because there were times where it looked hopeless, and it looked as though that this coaching staff may not even survive the game today, and then somehow, miraculously, they pull one out here and get it into overtime, which is where we are right now, 27 apiece, Bears and the Vikings. Let's get into the WGN Radio Newsroom.
He's had more practice than Minnesota. And that one, ball is loose. Was it touched? The Bears say they have it. Was it touched first by Minnesota? It was.
Hemp NOB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, courtesy of Fox Sports. That was the onside kick that led to the game-tying field goal for the Bears to put this game into overtime. Bears and Vikings still tied at 27 in the extra session. Minnesota, though, is driving deep into the Bears' territory and look like they're in pretty good position to take this game. It's gone under 3 minutes in the overtime. Bears had the possession, were unable to move. The Vikings now on their possession have, again, driven deep into the Bears' territory at this point. And it's bad. I mean, you hate to see it, obviously, with the 17 points that the Bears scored in that fourth quarter. Again, some good things from Caleb Williams and some good fight shown by this club. But, again, some missed tackles, especially during this game and especially now here in this overtime, have certainly cost the Bears field position. And right now the Vikings are setting up for what appears to be a field goal, try to get it to the correct hash. I'm laughing because that's probably what the Bears should have done last week against the Packers, but it looks inevitable at this point, barring a miss from a pretty short range here for the Vikings to survive this game against the Bears. And again, 17 points in the fourth quarter to try to get back into this one. And we'll see exactly how this all turns out here in a second. But again, a valiant effort of Caleb Williams, 32 of 47 for 340 yards through the air, an average of 7.2 yards, and a quarterback rating of 103.1. And again, Sam Darnold doing a nice job as well, 22 of 34 for 330 yards and a couple of scores. Again, here in overtime, Vikings and the Bears tied at 27, and it looks as though the Vikings are about ready to settle in for what could be the game-winning field goal here late in the overtime session, and it's over. So the Vikings have beaten the Bears 30-27 in OT this afternoon at Soldier Field in Chicago. So that's how this one goes. Five straight losses now for the Bears, and again, not being able to pull one out in the division. And the storm of this schedule continues to kind of whip things around for the Bears here. We're unable to get a win here this afternoon. 30-27 is the final here in overtime. Gentlemen, we just watched the Bears try to come back here, but unfortunately, again, as I mentioned, there were a lot of plays that you look back to, and some missed tackles, some missed opportunities as well, and some crazy calls as far as even replay went today.
Well, you know, there's something that a lot of people seem to never learn, and that is when you're playing a game, backgammon, cards, basketball, first things first, don't beat yourself. And we did everything we could to beat ourselves today, and unfortunately, DeAndre Carter was the play of the game that got us beat. And it's just unconscionable what he was doing over by where the punt landed as it hits the ground and carry him straight into him. And they recover the fumble. They have about a 15-yard, you know, touchdown drive. And that obviously was the big back-breaking play of the day. But, and you said it earlier, you know, when you sort through the rubble, there was some good stuff from the rookie quarterback Caleb Williams, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we can you know parse out today, but the kid once again was magic in the fourth quarter. And that's, you know, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks that can play well first quarter, second, maybe third, but in the fourth, whatever happens, That old third hand comes out of the collar and starts choking people. This kid, he was able to get us back in the game to create the yardage where we could kick the field goal to send it to overtime. Unfortunately, when we got the ball, we did nothing with it, OB.
Well, that's the time if we're looking for greatness, and no matter what, if he's a rookie, if this is the 11th game, or the 10th game, it doesn't matter. It's a game. We're at home. I think since Brown has taken over as our offensive pass coordinator, or our play caller, let's put it that way, our play caller, I think I've seen a different attitude out there by our players, all 11. I see a little bit more energy out on the field, Dan. And I think Caleb is doing the best he can. Now, again, where's our weakness offensively? It's obviously the offensive line. You just watch it again for four quarters, a little over four quarters today. And I'll tell you what, we are not going to win anything, folks, until Poles or Eberflus, if he's still here, and Warren, the CEO, guys, you've got to have five people up front. I believe if we had five people up front, Danny, right now we would be in one solid position in our North Division. The five guys we got playing are just not top quality offensive linemen. They are not in anybody's stretch of anybody's imagination. They're awful. And if we had five guys up front, this game might have been a walk, Danny. And now, I told you, there's a storm at the end of the season, and this is a game that we could have won, but guess what? We didn't. Now, there's going to be some Detroit Lions, folks, you want to watch a well-coached football team and a team that'll shove you and push you and crush you. That's two more games coming. We got to go to Green Bay, and we got to go to San Francisco. This is really going to be tough, and I don't know what to say any more than that, Danny. They had a chance today. They came back in the fourth quarter. It was nice. It was a miracle type stuff, which is great. We'll take it any way we can get it. But guess what? It didn't happen. And guess what? We lost again at home against the Minnesota Vikings. By the way, folks, they have a quarterback who I believe, Dan, this was his fifth or sixth team he's been with in the National Football League. We lost to a guy that's been bounced around this league for a few years from one team to another, and we lost to him at home.
Yep, and you know what? Everybody wants to talk about the fact that our defense can do this, can do that. We could not affect the quarterback when it counted. He was able to step up there in the overtime and make big play after big play.
That's exactly correct, Danny.
We got a sack and this and that, but we couldn't collapse the pocket and affect the passer. We couldn't get the running game under control. You know, Aaron Jones had over 100 yards, and you say, well, that really didn't hurt us. The heck it didn't. It kept the chains moving. And at some point, you got to start saying, Eberflus, you think you got, you know, all the answers with your defense. This was a game, our offense scored 27. That should be enough to win, Andy.
Indeed. Let's get to the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. I think we just alluded to it, the DeAndre Carter play. Certainly turned things around. There were a couple of other ones as well.
Well, in my mind, I think the whole thing changed when Keenan Allen didn't get a second put down on a third down conversion, and so we went ahead and tried and attempted a field goal, only to have it blocked again, and they took over possession of that. From that point on, they were able to extend the lead on us, and from then on, we were just scratching and clawing trying to get back in.
Well, for three quarters, Dan, guess what? Offensively, I know we threw the ball somewhat, but I didn't like a lot of the pass patterns that were called, and I'll tell you, for three quarters, we should have been a hell of a lot more aggressive, and when it came down to push and shove here, we got pushed and we got shoved, and we lost the damn football game. And again, I don't know where to go with this. I keep saying the same damn thing over and over again, but until this coaching staff can come up with a legitimate plan to move the ball down the field and take advantage of the down situation for four quarters, I'm waiting to see that day. And defensively, I'll give it again, our linebackers and our defensive backs, which I know we lost the game, okay? 30 points we gave up. But I'll tell you what, I'll take this defense any day of the week. Our offense, you can put it on a rummage sale.
Well, you can take all the missed tackles, too. Tyrique Stevenson missed play after play. Terrell Smith missed play after play. Jalen Johnson missing tackles. Yeah, and again, when you are living on the margins, it's not good enough. And that's supposed to be something that Eberflus is a genius at, and getting his team to, you know, with the hits principle and all that nonsense. Let me tell you this one last thing. Eberflus is now 5-18 in one score games. Today was the epitome of a one score game. We had a chance again. We find a way to blow it.
Danny, listen. What happened? They get a tie to go, and they go for an onside kick. I don't know what the odds are in the National Football League, but for the
it's
onside
7%.
People that are kicking,
7%.
I mean, it's infinitesimal. It's almost nothing. And we got the ball back, okay? So and that's an absolute, I mean, that is unbelievable how we got that ball. Like Dan just said, what is it, 7%?
7%.
That basically almost never happens. We got it, and we didn't take advantage of it, okay? We didn't take advantage of it.
30-27, the final. Vikings in overtime over the Bears. We'll get to your calls in a moment. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
29 yards for the win. Good snap. Good hold. Good kick. And the middle.
Minnesota Vikings win it in overtime, 30-27.
Courtesy of Fox Sports, Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado. It's the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And we'll take your calls now, 312-981-7200, with you until 5 o'clock here today. Let's start in Shorewood, and we'll say hi to Randy. Randy, you're up with Hampton OB first. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Glad to be calling again. I just wanted to talk about the wonderful effort tackling today. I played high school football freshman sophomore year only and learned how to tackle properly. These guys are being paid millions and millions of dollars, and they can't make a simple tackle that we learned in high school. It's ridiculous. We're better off hiring people from the rodeo who tackle those pigs down. They know how to tackle better than our guys who are paid millions of dollars to do it. It's ridiculous. You know who's to blame there? The coaching staff. They can't do a simple task like tackle a football player, which is they're paid millions to do. Something needs to change. I'm tired of calling every single week and complaining about something. I wish I had better things to talk about. I call almost every single week, and it's always negative, and I don't like it anymore. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Randy, as I said at the outset, first things first, what do? You don't beat yourself. You know, all this training and the defensive plays and schemes and concepts and blah, you got to make tackles. And we've got a bunch of guys diving on the ground in front of receivers, diving on the ground in front of tight ends, thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to chop their legs out. Everybody's on to it. They're watching film. They see it. And the missed tackles today, we must, and I'm, this is not, you know, I would imagine after missed tackle contact, we probably gave up almost 100 yards.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-boggling. And we had a 22-something minute time advantage in the first half. We had nothing to show for it. We are, again, we're beating ourselves with mistakes, penalties, and I'm sick. And I, you know, okay, Keenan Allen caught some balls today. Great. But I am sick of this offense thinking he has got to be the primary receiver first and foremost on any, you know, set of drives. Andy, I'm sick of it.
I'm
this
sick
guy
of it, too.
How many times did he not even make a great effort or drop the ball, yeah, you know, on third down conversions? It was sickening. Or the fourth one, a fourth down as well.
They targeted him 15 times today, and he made 9 catches. So that was the offense.
Yeah, yeah. And we're starting to see more and more that when Caleb starts to figure out, hey, let's go to Moore or Adonze, a lot more good things happen.
Yeah, Komet and Adonze each got 10 targets today. Back to the phones real quick. We'll go to Patrick. Patrick, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. I want your guys' opinion, first and foremost, on what you guys thought of the onside kick that we recovered in the fourth quarter with less than 30 seconds to go. Because in my opinion, watching that back, that was mind-boggling because it's like, the way I see it, you know, it's Chicago Bear football. That's the type of stuff that doesn't happen to us. But the fact that it happened was absolutely mind-boggling for us to force overtime.
Well, what happened is, as a matter of fact, the Vikings actually took a timeout. They took a timeout to go over that specific play that they know, the onside kick, they know it's coming. And they sat and they went over it on the sidelines. They come back out. And I don't understand. It looked like helter-skelter for me as far as Minnesota was. When you have those designated guys to get to the ball and you have guys – that the opposing team, when their runners come down to get the ball, you take them out. You take them out. And it looked like it was helter-skelter. It looked like Minnesota had no idea of what they were doing, and they took a timeout to go over it. But anyways, it is what it is. We got the ball, and we had a chance, and we didn't do it.
Well, and you know what? So much of that is luck. That's why it's only, you know, possible to gain possession on an onside kick has only been 7% this season. But the good, you know, luck to the Bears, you know, it did hit that backup tight end Munt, hit him in the leg, and then it was anybody's ball. We were able to recover.
What play do the Bears need to scrap? Sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. I've got a vote. How about we take the challenge flag away from Matt Eberflus and just not let him use it?
What is he, about 0 for 10 now?
I think it's been over a year since he's had a a successful challenge.
Let me try to go one better than that.
Okay.
How about the guys up in the booth? Okay? There's 10 of them up in the booth, folks. 16 on coaches on the field. There's 10 up in the booth. You mean to tell me they've got an ear set? Every one of them can talk to Eberflus. They can talk incessantly. It doesn't matter. All right? And you mean to tell me they can't tell? They can't see that? There's 10 of them up there. What the hell are they looking at?
OB, I talked about it in the pregame. The Vikings have a guy named Ryan Cordell. It's game management situations. Mm-hmm. He would be the guy that would tell the coach, challenge. He's the one. We don't have anybody like that because we got a bunch of coaches bringing coffee to somebody.
I'll tell you, folks, this coaching staff. Now, this I don't know when we're going to play a game like this again. Okay? We came back. We were out of it. But the team fought all the way down, fought all the way to the last second of the game. That you can't take away from them. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, we've got the rest of the season coming, and I'm going to tell you what, this coaching staff, to me, the words are subpar. It is unbelievable. We put this team in a position, as far as I'm concerned, we put them in a position to lose. It may sound strange, but you sit there and go back play after play, quarter after quarter, and game after game, and you tell me.
All right, we'll take a timeout for the news. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
Darnold, pressure up the middle, steps away, throws, incomplete. It went between the 8 and the 7 of Hockenson, and he couldn't secure it with Gordon and Edmonds in the area.
And it is time for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Kyler Gordon gets the nod right there.
Well, he was back to his normal self, being nifty, and he was, you know, a factor against the run. Did some great things against the receivers, but wasn't enough.
All right, before we get back to the calls, I'm getting a lot of questions on social media, and we discussed it when we were watching the game live about the decision to go for 2 points. 24-16, 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And what's the logic behind going for two at that point?
And you know, and again, this is this new wave of thinking, and you're at home. You just got through putting together a 10-play, 64-yard drive to score the touchdown. You had four first downs. You had momentum, and the new way of thinking is we're going to go for two and create an opportunity to where next time we score a touchdown, we will be able to kick the extra point to have a point advantage. That is what they're thinking. In hindsight, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not for it. You take the point and you keep playing.
And obviously what happened was it ended up being an overtime game. The Bears lose 30-27 to the Minnesota Vikings. Let's head back out.
The point would have come in real handy.
It would have. It definitely would have. Let's head back out to the phone lines. We'll go out to Aurora and say hi to Jim. Jim, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Guys, the good news is that 2 weeks in a row it went down to the final play. The bad news is I watched the national broadcast announcers, and they continually used the word describing the Bears as looking confused and another mistake. And that's very frustrating.
Well, and again, you know, if you listen to us on a weekly basis, we tell you it's kind of shocking that the announcers can pick it up during one game. We've had to watch it now almost 2.5 years plus. And at some point, OB, you got to think that this whole aura of this team is one where they are unprepared for very critical moments during the course of a game. And, you know, Moose Johnson was the color today, and he does a good job. And, you know, he was talking about it in the second quarter. He was saying, hey, this is not the way that you normally conduct yourself during the course of a game, during the different situations and that arise. And again, it goes back to who's at top, who is the guy on top of this that is supposed to have delegated enough authority to where you have the competent people making decisions? We seem to always be making the wrong one, OB.
Yeah, well, Danny, just to get down to the rock bottom here, right after the game, you look at the totals. Rushing, we ran for a total, folks, of 78 yards. 78 yards. And guess who our leading rusher was? Williams, our quarterback. 33 yards. Last week, he was our second leading rusher. The leading rusher was 71 yards. He was 70. So basically, two games in a row, we've got the leading rusher on our team is our quarterback. And folks, it's sooner or later, folks. I'm going to tell you what, the odds are not on the Bears' side of having this kid run with his designated runs, let alone him trying to escape, get out of the pocket. Okay? And I think the kid has the qualities to take us to wins and take us to a championship. I think he has the qualities, but we need the help from the other 52 people, let alone our coaches, who I really don't particularly care for, not one single little bit.
Well, we attempted 47 passes today. Only 22 times did we run the ball. Our running backs combined for 15 carries, 32 yards. That's 2 yards a carry. And in no shape or form of any game played at high school, college, or professional, you know, level, is that good enough? And again, Roschon Johnson, and again, this, you know, okay, Thomas Brown is the new coordinator. Where was Roschon today? You know, against blitzes, you want a big, powerful back to help, you know, pick up on the blitzes. Plus, you want a big back that can bang those gaps, you know, with people flying around. He can hopefully break a number of the arm tackles and pop some of those big runs, which we never were able to do today.
Well, Dan, we really didn't run a ball today.
Yeah.
You know, we had a total of 22 runs.
Yep.
You know, for 78 yards. You know, you still got to grind it and punch it out. And obviously we didn't do that. But I'll tell you what. It's, folks, things are what they are. You know what? We're not a well-coached football team, and we really are not a good football team, basically on either side of the ball. We have some good people. We have some positives. There's no question about it. But we're 4-7 now?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what. Wow. We got some teams that we got to take on here. Very shortly, it's really going to be difficult starting Thanksgiving Day.
Well, in the last five losing efforts, we've brought it to the last play of the game. Unfortunately, we're 0-3 in all of those games. That's almost inconceivable.
It shouldn't even have to go down, Dan, to the last minute of a game, last play of a game. And don't forget, the first nine teams we played, there was only one that was a halfway decent, and that was Houston. The other eight teams we played are just god-awful football teams, and we wind up basically with a losing record, you know? And now we're going to play the tough teams, but that's what we did. The first half of the season, we had a chance to take advantage of the schedule, get things motivating offensively, moving the ball down the field, converting, and we didn't do it. Defensively, we've been hanging in there, and that's the only thing that I see, Dan, and to our listeners, the only reason why we won the four games is because of our defense, not because of our offense.
That goes right along with time now for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Kevin Byard had 13 tackles in the game today, and he seemed like he was everywhere during the game today.
He has been easily the best free agent pickup of Ryan Poles' career.
All right, we'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. We've got to take a quick time out here. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Ready, go!
Pressure comes. Gets away from Van Ginkel. Still under pressure. Floats it down the sideline. And somehow, Swift finds it! DeAndre Swift!
courtesy of Fox Sports. That's our Epico performance of the game, sponsored by Epico, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. Caleb Williams, 32 of 47, 340 yards, no picks, a couple of touchdowns, and as OB pointed out, he had six carries for 33 yards. His passer rating in the game was 103.1.
Yeah, he's went 5 weeks now through a losing streak with zero interceptions. And in a little bit, I'll break it. It's called a quarterback betrayal stat that is amazing. We'll talk about that after the callers.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go out to Rolling Meadows and say hi to John. John, you're up with Amp and OB. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? I'm just going to fuel the fire a little bit, Ed. Sweat plays, you said 54%. So he plays 33 minutes a game. He makes over about under $50,000 a snap. He gets one sack today, and that's it. We could probably divide that money up and get some offensive linemen. And our defensive ends, again, did not contain the corners. You guys have a great Thanksgiving, and... Go Bears!
Yeah, thanks, and that sack didn't come during regulation. It was in the overtime, and it was a coverage sack. It was a 4 second plus where he went all the way around the back door and came back and got the quarterback. So hey, we're glad he finally showed up. But where was he during the course of regulation play? Couldn't find him.
All right, let's get back out to the calls and head out to Naperville and say hi to Tom. Tom, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I have 2 points to make. One, if you're a punt receiver and you're saying fair catch, or I'm not playing it, get the hell away from the ball. And secondly, there was that long run down the right side after a pass where one of the Bears' defensive backs thought it's the way to tackle by throwing your body at him as opposed to break down and wrap up and tackle.
Yeah, that was Jonathan Owens who tried to throw the shiver block there. So, it didn't work. I mean, and he was able to stay in bounds.
You know, and back to DeAndre Carter, and we've liked him. I mean, after Velus Jones, you know, it's a small hill to climb. But again, he's screaming, you know, and everybody has a different word: Peter, danger, blah blah blah. Get away from him! Why was he standing there? And the ball hit 2 yards in front of him. What does he think it's going to do? Go backwards? It shot straight into him, and he obviously wasn't prepared. I mean, it's incomprehensible how stupid some of these people play the game of football.
Well, actually, Dan, what you do, the coaches, they tell you, the specialty teams coaches tell you, you got it. Whatever the situation is, they know, and I assume these coaches sit with these kids and tell them, when you see that ball and you're in your vision, you see somebody, you get away from that football. I mean, I remember that when I played. I mean, they would beat it in to whoever the special teams guys were. If it's there, if the situation is right, you take it. If there's any question in your mind, you get out of the way. Just get out of the way, because actually, when the ball hits the ground, you really don't know which way it's going to go. And that's a fact, and that's been a fact for decades.
And you know why he knows? He was the punter in college and in high school.
Aha. Uh-huh.
He sat in all those meetings. And how many times did you hear the coach say, get the hell away from it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Special teams, too, today. Not exactly a shining star. I know Cairo Santos kicked the field goal to tie it, to send it to overtime, and eventually losing 30-27. But how about back-to-back field goals blocked in the same spot?
The same spot. And a lot of that has to do with Braxton Jones and his inability to be able to hold his position, you know, hunker down and be a man. And it's all about leverage. You know, he's 300 pounds, get down. And he's not. And unfortunately, 2 weeks in a row, that has cost us victory.
All right, back to the phones. To Broadview, we go to Mark. Mark, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys see everything. You're as true as yoga pants. And I got to say, Cole Clement made some comments on a radio show. He was talking with T.J. Edwards. He said, they're from here. And they grew up watching the Bears, and they saw the blank show that's going on here, and now they're living it. Thanks, guys.
I don't know if you caught that, OB, but he said it was, I think what he was saying was,
yeah,
we are as honest as stretch pants.
Yeah, as yoga pants, yes.
Yeah. In other words, you can't hide it. And we're putting it on the money here.
It's back to no hostages, yes.
Well, you know what, folks? Sometimes things are what they are.
Yeah.
What do you want from me, Dan? Come on.
Absolutely. 312-981-7200, the number to Oakwood. We'll say hi to Dave. Dave, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Andy, thanks for taking me. Fellas, I'm not going to talk about all the things that we've talked about. This is Dave here in Oakwood again. I just wanted to say we were 6-for-17 on third down conversions, and my fiance is making Puerto Rican pork with all the trimmings for Thanksgiving, and we will have leftovers on Friday for high school football if you boys want to shoot down.
You're always kind with the invitations. Thank you, Dave.
I appreciate the. I'll have enough on my table.
Yeah, hey, Dave. Yeah, we're a third down. We were 6-for-17, which equates to 35% of the time. Not going to win a game.
And the one that really kind of breaks your heart is the fact that we get a chance there in the fourth quarter, and we have momentum back, and we go three and out. And it's unbelievable how we cannot find any rhythm when we need it.
Danny, that's my big thing with this offense. If you've listened to me from game to game and year to me, that is a down, third down. You've got to convert on third down if you're going to have a winning team, a winning season, and the only reason why you're playing this game is to be a world champion. You want to be the Super Bowl champ. You want to be the best, okay? And when you do offensively, if you're the offensive coordinator or one of the 26 coaches, okay, that is the down. That's the down that makes you or breaks you, folks. That is the down whether you win or whether you lose. Third down, okay? And guess offensively what our biggest problem is. We don't convert on third down. We don't.
They did on a third and 20. We got them third and 20. We had a holding call, and we cannot find a way to stop them. And they win the game because they were able to convert that third down, went on a 10-play, 83-yard drive to get in position for the field goal.
That's what winning teams do, Danny.
And Darnold did it.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? Sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns, always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. Offensive line, all things considered, they allowed three sacks. I mean, we heard all about the blitzing defense that the Vikings were going to bring, but again, the running game was a little non-existent.
Think back 2 weeks ago to the New England Patriot game where they bring in nobody I've ever heard of, and they had 9 sacks. So the offensive line was a modicum better today.
All right, we have a half an hour left to go. We're going to take a timeout for the news here. 312-981-7200, the number. The Bears lose 30-27 to the Minnesota Vikings in overtime. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado. It's the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so we're down 14 there, and we really like our two-point play, and we were going to make it a touchdown wins the game. And we felt good in terms of where we were, in terms of the game, how the game flow was going at that point. And we thought that was our best chance to win.
Head coach Matt Eberflus echoing the sentiments of our Hall of Famer Dan Hampton and exactly why he wanted to go for two in that situation. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We weren't fact-checking you, of course. We were just making sure that, the coach agreed with you.
Well, whether you like it or not, that's the new way of thinking. You know, we're going to go for two, get it. And if you don't, then you can always go back and get it the second time.
Right.
If it works out. But anyway,
what happens if you don't get it the second time?
Well, right? Then you lose.
Like they did today.
We're used to it.
Our offense is not a juggernaut by any stretch.
This is true. 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Fox Lake and welcome in John to the program. John, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Dan, there was one play that encapsulates the whole season of the Eberflus stupid experience. He's the defensive guru. It was 3rd and 13. Darnold had to go out for a play. So they send in a backup that's
Mullins.
Only thrown one pass the whole year.
Why didn't you send the kitchen sink? Why didn't you pressure the line? Why didn't you try and scare the quarterback? The guy's only thrown one pass the whole year. You give him 3 seconds to throw, they get the first down, and then they just, and then Darnold comes back in, and then they drive all the way and get a touchdown. This head coach has no idea about situations. On that play, he dropped everybody back on 3rd and 13. Blitz the guy. Send in pressure. Fake blitz. Do something. Am I wrong?
No, you're exactly. You're well, but hey, what about putting the linebackers there in the middle zone? I mean, the running back came out of the backfield and then went across in the middle. Nobody was there. Nobody. Zero. It was 3rd and 13. And it was like they were playing a Hail Mary. Everybody, and all day long, OB, you kept saying, why the hell is our corners, and especially, you know, and the bunch formation, they were back 10, 12, 14 yards off of the receiver, giving up all the underneath stuff.
That's absolutely.
It's hideous.
Yeah, John and Dan and I were talking about it, and what you're talking about is that we would sit there, and in critical passing situations, I don't know what the hell we're protecting. We got our guys back, what, Dan? 10 yards, 8 yards, 15 yards, doing what?
They're dropping to 18, and it was a 13-yard, you know, gap. But you're exactly right. Nick Mullins has been over there, you know, carrying a clipboard around all season. He comes in cold as ice, and we basically don't get any rush on him and let him, you know, throw a pass that, Andy, you could have thrown.
Well,
let's not go that far.
That falls under what did you think was going to happen, Danny? You know, when you don't play smart football.
Back-breaking
and
idiocy.
It's obviously, folks, just look at us from game to game, okay? And again, please, you got to understand, folks, these first 9 games that we played, if you're any kind of a football team that is well-coached and you do have talent on both sides of the ball, okay, offense and defense, we should have walked into this season with a minimum of 7 wins and 2 losses going into the back half of this season. And we didn't. As we speak, we still have not beat a team with a winning record. I don't know. So you sit here and you watch it, and Dan and I scratch our head, and you look at plays, especially offensively, they called what? They did what? In this situation, that situation, and it basically they all seem like the wrong calls to me. I don't know, maybe you people know better than I do, but I'll tell you what, again, a poorly coached game. This is a game that we could have won. We could have won this game, but we lost again.
You know, the question I think a lot of people have, and I've been thinking about this over the last, last 4 or 5, 6 games, where, you know, we demand so much from the players as fans. We want Caleb Williams to improve from week to week to week. We want to see DeAndre Swift improve from week to week. Why do the coaches get a pass? I mean, why does the coaching staff get a pass like that? Because I wonder what the evaluation process continues to be up at Hallis Hall. I mean, Are they talking about these things? I mean, it doesn't seem like they are at all.
You know, great leaders can delegate responsibility, but they can't delegate accountability. We do not have any accountability on this football team.
Bingo.
And it started with that idiocy in Washington. Now, let me just say this. Yep. If you was at 11:59 today, Andy, you turned to me and said, guess what? Justin Jefferson, their all-world receiver, is only going to catch 2 balls today for 27 yards. No touchdowns. I would have ran to the payphone, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But guess what? We doubled him an awful lot. But all that led to was the fact that Darnold was smart enough to realize that, and he got the ball to Jordan Addison, who killed us with 162 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, career high for him in yardage.
We made him into a movie star.
Yeah.
And week after week after week, it seems like these nobodies come out of nowhere and make us pay a price.
Well, Sam Darnold threw for almost 350 yards today against us. So there you go. What do you? But I don't know.
and he was averaging well over 15 yards of completion.
Yes, he was.
That, I mean, that's not checkdowns, folks. That's not, you know, speed screens. That's throwing the ball down the field. You know, you look at the drive chart. Last week, both teams had 8 drives apiece. Today, both teams had 12. We had 12 drives. The deciding part of this game was the third quarter. We had a great lead in possession time, and even though we were down 10-7 at the half, we had, you know, a little bit of mojo. In the third quarter, we had the ball 3 times. We go downs, turning it over on downs, then 2 punts, where Minnesota, they had it 4 times. They could go field goal, punt, punt, touchdown. They scored 10 unanswered points in the third quarter, which became the deciding factor in the game.
And even that fourth down play, if I remember correctly, Eberflus didn't make a decision right away, and the clock was winding down quick, and they had to get to the line fast.
And in the final stages of the game, that timeout would have been
huge.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What about the challenge that he blew that cost us a timeout? So, I mean, it's just stumble, bumble, and fumble.
Remind me, I want to go back to that challenge when we come back from the break, because there was an interesting thing pointed out on the television broadcast that I'm not sure a lot of fans really understand. And to be honest with you, I don't really understand how this rule is possible when it comes to challenges. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second.
Again, I think it's just a point where we need to do a better job. I have to do a better job of communicating everything to everybody. And, you know, if he was late, then I might have been late. And then he was maybe late getting the call. So we liked the call there, and we were all set with going for it there. Yes,
so Matt Eberflus talking about that play we were just talking about, the fourth down where the play seemed like it was late getting in and, of course, was not successful. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I mentioned before we went to the break about a crazy rule that I did not know about. I don't know if any of you guys realized it, that the challenge on the Jordan Addison play near the sideline where it looked like he went out of bounds on the 68-yard pass play. You thought that was a sequence that they could have overturned because of the camera angle that was right down the line, and it's called the border cam. But apparently, according to Fox Sports Mike Pereira, they couldn't use the boundary cam on review because, as a quote says, if a coach challenged, you cannot use the boundary cam. There is not a boundary cam in every stadium, so there's a question of equity. So because the Bears do have it and other stadiums don't have it, if a coach challenges the play, you can't use the border cam when it showed that he was out of bounds.
Yeah, I guess some stadiums, it's 1966, right?
And guess what? All the new stadiums, what's the one in L.A.? What was it, 5 billion, 6 billion?
Yeah, they better have one.
Okay. You think there'd be a camera everywhere?
Well, what stadium is better, not better than this?
Exactly.
One?
I mean, you think that there's a bunch of other ones that are better.
I mean, everybody around the league says, oh, Soldier Field is the worst place. You know, And others don't have a border cam? That's crazy.
Yeah, I just found that interesting. 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Michigan and say hi to Dan. Dan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Well, I think Thursday you guys better sit down and get your hands tied because it's going to be a slaughter. If you pay any attention to what's going on with the Lions, Dan Campbell, head coach of that, has got one thing and one thing only, Super Bowl, and he has got his foot on the throttle. And that ain't something we've seen in Chicago since, well, Dan Hampton played. So be prepared for Thursday. It's not going to be good.
Dan, I can tell you this, that will not be a surprise to Mr. Hampton and to Andy and myself, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody. Dan Campbell, when Detroit got him, and Andy and Dan, you guys can back me up, I said, watch out for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The minute it was announced that they took him, and I knew exactly what he was going to do, Dan, he was going to hold their feet to the fire, and he told them in that initial meeting, under no circumstances, you know what, I run the asylum, you guys don't, and you better do what you're told, and you better perform, or you're gone. And he never backed down from that. And I'll tell you what, he's got them playing at a championship level that I hope and pray someday we get a Dan Campbell here that'll hold these players accountable and not be their damn best friend and worry about and call, have nicknames for them and every other thing. Okay? You got to bring somebody in here that is totally dedicated to winning 17 games and being a world champion and not taking any guff from these players. And by the way, what went on here a couple of two, 3 weeks ago with our players, that is, you talk about unacceptable and unbelievable. And I still have yet, I don't know of anybody, have they been called yet in on the carpet? You know, has Cole said anything?
Nope.
Has Warren said anything?
Nope.
My God, how terrible could that be? How terrible. And by the way, who do these kids think they are that they can pull shenanigans like that on a National Football League game, on the field, televised, and a real game, and they can do what they think they want to do, and there's no reprimand, there's nothing done or said to these kids? Jesus.
You know, OB, just picture this. Could you imagine a player on the Detroit Lions team doing what Tyrique Stevenson was doing when the ball was snapped and he was, you know.
With Dan Campbell, no, never.
Fans.
That would never happen.
It would have never happened. Second fact, if somebody would have done that, their ass would have been shipped out.
There's no question about it, Dan.
And yet, Tyrique Stevenson, they kid-gloved him, and I'm telling you, ever since that game, his performance has went down, down, down. And you know what? There's a certain, you know, there's a rhyme and reason, and this old saying, what goes around comes around. And guess what? You let, you know, things go a little bit like that, everybody else starts thinking, well, I don't have to hold the jump through off. I don't have to stay up on this block. I don't really have to work on this field goal block. It's, you know, the kick is going to kick it out. And all these little cracks start to become fissures. And we are now seeing that manifest itself.
And it's because of a coach, in my opinion, and you guys can chime in on this as well, who coaches scared and is been in fear for his job probably and realistically and rightfully so for the last couple of years.
Well, the amount of look at the offensive plays that are called in. We call in on to go 1 yard to score a touchdown, and what do? You let an offensive coordinator come in. You're the head coach. You got your offensive coordinator, and what do? They send an offensive lineman, a guard, backup center, put him in a fullback slot. And they hand the ball off to him, and he fumbled. Which, again, which I've said before, what the hell do you think was going to happen? You know, you can't have coaches around that are even think like that. We have running backs we pay millions of dollars to. Johnson is a hard running back. My God, why wasn't he in there if that's the play you're going to call? You put in an offensive lineman, and it backfires, and you lose the game. Okay? We don't play 162 of them. When is somebody in this organization going to figure that out? You got to have these kids ready to go for every minute, every second of every game, and during practice, hold their feet to the fire. Get them ready to play on Sunday.
Okay, and what happened today? We get another field goal blocked. We had one blocked last week.
Can you believe that?
We had a punt returner idiotically get over there and, you know, stand in front of the ball, hitting the ground in front of him like he didn't have an idea it was going to be, you know, caroming right at him.
Dan, our field goal team, this is still basically all the guys up front, our offensive line, they got blown up again today. That's what happened. They got stood up straight back and shoved back. That's 2 weeks in a row, folks. If you have film or something, look at what happened. How did it happen? Why did it happen? Our offensive line got blown up.
Well, all I know is 10:30 Thursday morning, we are going to be taking names.
Amen to that. That's the next time we'll be with you. Actually, I will not be with you, so happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. I'll be in Arizona calling some Wildcats basketball. You're
ducking out of this one. Huh?
I'm going to duck away from the Lions, and I'll put all the blame on everybody else. So it's, you know, kind of the thing you do. But that's Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, of course, the Bears and the Lions, 10:30 pregame right here on WGN. A big thanks to Jack and Eli and Tony today and Krista for all their assistance on the broadcast today. And thanks to you for listening as well. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Amen to that.